The differentiation among varieties of life and their suffering and enjoyment is explained by some to be the result of karma. Others say it is due to nature. Others due to time. Others due to fate. And still others say that it is due to desire. Srila Prabhupada's purport. There are different kinds of philosophers, mimamsakas, atheists, astronomers, sexualists, and so many other classifications of mental speculators. The real conclusion is that it is our work only that binds us within this material world in different varieties of life. How these varieties have sprung up is explained in the Vedas. It is due to the desire of the living entity. The living entity is not a dead stone. He has different varieties of desire or kama. The Vedas say, kamo karshit. The living entities are, originally, hearts of the Lord, like sparks of a fire. But they have dropped to this material world, attracted by a desire to lord it over material, to lord it over nature. That is a fact. Every living entity is trying to lord it over the material resources to the best of his ability. This karma, or desire, cannot be annihilated. There are some philosophers who say that if one gives up his desires, he again becomes liberated, but it is not at all possible to give up desire, for desire is a symptom of the living entity. If there were no desire, then the living entity would be a dead stone. Srila Narottama Das Thakur therefore advises that one turn his desire towards serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then desire becomes purified. And when one's desires are purified, one becomes liberated from all material contamination. The conclusion is that different philosophers' theories to explain the varieties of life and their pleasure and pain are all imperfect. The real explanation is that we are eternal servants of God, and that as soon as we forget this relationship, we are thrown into the material world, where we create our different activities and suffer or enjoy the result. We are drawn into this material world by desire. But the same desire must be purified and employed in the devotional service of the Lord. Then our disease of wandering in the universe under different forms and conditions will end. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sada Satte Deve Gauravani Pacharini Nivishesha Shunyavari Paschachare Satarane Om Mangyanam Timiram Dasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Jainam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Panchakalpa Tribhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bheva Cha Patitanam Bhavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha. Oh, why are we suffering? What is our condition in this material world? As mentioned here, there are many different analyses of this. And it is proper to have the correct understanding so we know the proper way to get out. So, in a sense, all of these different elements are all there. First of all, there is karma, the impulse to fruitive activities, but that karma itself is because of kama, desire. So Prabhupada says that the living entities have dropped into this material world attracted by a desire to lord it over nature. That is a fact. Every living entity is trying to lord it over the material resources to the best of his ability. So of course Prabhupada's main point is this karma cannot be eliminated. If you've ever studied Buddhist philosophy, the injunction is to extirpate desire. We are suffering in this world. We are suffering because of attachments, cravings, desires, and we are enjoined to extirpate it, rip it up, destroy it. This also comes into the Advaita Vedanta idea too, of becoming rid of desire. And this is a faulty analysis. As Prabhupada says, that's what makes us alive. Whenever there's activity, living entities are active. This pericarpal is dead. There's no activity. Wherever there's activity, there's life. So that comes from the living entity. So the idea that the living entity in its pure form, in its liberated form, would suddenly have no activity is very weird, since any activity comes from the spiritual touch. If there's activity, there has to be something you want. There has to be a motive to do something. So therefore, desire. So desire itself is part of the spirit soul. So even in the pure state, there is desire and activity. So the real problem is not desire as such. It's rather where that desire is directed. So the living entity, as part and parcel of Krishna, has desire. You may notice that Krishna himself is not desireless. He is ever expanding his enjoyment and pleasure. He's the supreme enjoyer. Living entities, as small samples of Krishna, we also have the enjoying propensity. Prabhupada was once asked, in the very early days, somebody said to him, Swamiji, what is the meaning of life? And he says, the meaning of life is to enjoy. So we are also supposed to enjoy. Our problem is whether we know how to enjoy or not, huh? Our enjoyment is supposed to be in relationship to Krishna. Then it is real enjoyment. Otherwise, when we try to enjoy separately from Krishna or independently of Krishna, then it doesn't work. Somehow or other, my computer has decided to go crazy. So where does this come from? This desiring propensity, it is there from Krishna, it is there in the living entity. But what has happened is that we have desired to enjoy in the material world separately from Krishna. Prabhupada uses the term lord it over. That is to say, there is we have a God project going on. Every living entity in the material world has some way of being the enjoyer and the controller. In truth, the only enjoyer and the only controller is Krishna. But we are imitating this and trying to enjoy and control ourselves. So Prabhupada remarked in the second canto, in describing how the living entity is covered by Maya. Now, why has Krishna covered the living entity by Maya? Because first of all, the living entity desires to become like the Lord himself. Prabhupada called the original sinful desire of the living entity is to become the Lord. And we have this degree of freedom. How we direct our desire is our business. Krishna doesn't decide that for us. Otherwise, we would just be puppets. We'd be automaton. We have a certain amount of freedom. So this freedom is facilitated by Krishna. So Krishna says, you want to be the supreme? Well, the job is taken. But what I can do is I can give you the illusion. And that's what the material world is for. You want what is not. We want an alternative reality. And so Krishna gives this to us. Here Prabhupada says, I'm going to read the second canto, ninth chapter. Prabhupada writes, now the next question automatically made will be why the Lord influences the living entity to such consciousness and forgetfulness. The answer is that the Lord clearly wishes that every living entity be in his pure consciousness as part and parcel of the Lord. That's what Krishna wants. If you look at the situation, you find out that this material world is going on, and Krishna actually doesn't want it to. It's contrary to what he wants. But we want it. So he wants the living entity to be in his pure consciousness, engaged in the loving service of the Lord as he is constitutionally made, but because the living entity is partially independent also, he may not be willing to serve the Lord, but may try to become as independent as the Lord is. All the non-devotee living entities are desirous of becoming equally as powerful as the Lord, although they are not fit to become so. The living entities are illusioned by the will of the Lord because they want to become like him. People will say, oh, this isn't, I don't want to be like God, you know, I just want a, you know, a nice girlfriend, a nice flat, you know. That, my ambitions are not so great. But it's actually a God project. Because we are engaged in the material world, we're talking about people who are engaged in sense gratification. So what happens in sense gratification? I put my senses into contact with an object, and I feel some pleasure. Well, so far, I could just treat that pleasure the way I would treat pain. Okay, it's some sensation is there, some feeling of pleasure is there. But I've got a different mentality. I seize hold of that pleasure. Should you find yourself gratifying the senses, just try to introspect and see what's going on. What happens is we feel some pleasure and interiorly we rejoice. We say, ah, I am enjoying. I've taken possession of that pleasure and I'm thinking, I am the enjoyer. We puff up. We puff up. I am the enjoyer. And then the object of pleasure, this is mine. I want it. So you see what we've done? We've got a little God project going. I am the enjoyer. I am the controller. This is mine. Sense gratification is the act of atheism. Because where is Krishna in this transaction? Nowhere to be seen. What's the truth? That sense object is Krishna's. I am Krishna's. What is the relationship between me and that sense object? Oh, we engage together, I engage this sense object in Krishna service. He's the enjoyer. And I facilitate his enjoyment. That's the act of Krishna consciousness. As soon as Krishna disappears from view, this is mine. Well, maybe Krishna's around, off in the distance somewhere, saying, yeah, go ahead, have a good time. This is my imagination, huh? So we have to understand this. Every act of sense gratification is atheism. Krishna is not there. That's what we mean by sense gratification. I have taken that place. In the spiritual world there is sense gratification, but it's Krishna's sense gratification. But we have got our own project. When I was a new devotee, I accepted this in principle. And then I was listening to a tape of Prabhupada. Actually, he was talking to an Indian gentleman, I think from Kerala or someplace like that, because the Indian gentleman was a Christian. And he had obviously been converted to Christianity by missionaries who told him nasty stories about Krishna. Because this gentleman said to Prabhupada, how can you worship a god who is an adulterer, who enjoys with other men's wives? That's what he said. How can you worship a god who is an adulterer? And Prabhupada said, Krishna is not the adulterer. You are the adulterer. All women belong to God. So he's a pious Christian, he has a wife. And he says, you are the adulterer, all women belong to God. And I have to confess, when I heard Prabhupada say this on the tape, I felt this pang, this feeling in my heart that was only envy and resentment. Because I thought, what? Krishna gets them all, not one for me? So it's in there, even if you're being pious. Just one? No, all women. All women belong to Krishna. He's the supreme enjoyer. So we should look in our hearts, we should see that there's some trace of our having turned away from Krishna and come to be independent enjoyers in the material world. So the God project is there. And we see it happen all the time. I had the experience once of working in an office, and the lowest ranking person in the office was his secretary, who controlled the supply cabinet. She had the key, and in the supply cabinet were pencils, papers, staplers, folders, whatever you needed. And if you wanted pencils, you couldn't just go and say, please give me some pencils. You had to you had to get her favor. You had to be very sweet and nice. She was the lord of the supply closet. and you had to do puja. So somehow or other she has become this, the enjoyer and the controller. And we see this is happening. Prabhupada says people want to be the lord of all they survey, but one way to do that is to survey very little. Make that your territory. So Prabhupada continues here. All the non-devotee living entities are desirous of becoming equally as powerful as the Lord, although they are not fit to become so. The living entities are illusioned by the will of the Lord because they want to become like him. Like a person who thinks of becoming a king without possessing the necessary qualification, when the living entity desires to become the Lord himself, he is put into a condition of dreaming that he is a king. Therefore, this is the interesting sentence, one interest. Therefore, the first sinful will of the living entity is to become the Lord. That's the first thing. And the consequent will of the Lord, so first to us, to desire to become the Lord, and the consequent will of the Lord is that the living entity forget his factual life and thus dream of the land of utopia where he may become one like the Lord. And then Prabhupada talks how he, like a child crying for the moon, the mother gives him the reflection in the mirror so he can play with it. So he has given us this kind of thing. Interestingly enough, in the Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, there's a quotation from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who says that, it says, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has used the word manasa pratyaksha to describe the experience of material life. Manasa pratyaksha means that which is experienced only within the mind. So this is the illusion. It's all manasa pratyaksha, imaginary. So we are put into this imaginary condition. Oh, this is nice. I'm having a good time. I'm an important person. It's all manasa pratyaksha, or as we say in English, BS. So this is our condition. The point to know this, there are different analyses of why we are suffering in the material world. From the impersonalist point of view, somehow we are in a state of beginningless ignorance. It is just there. The idea is to gain knowledge and to become free from desire. But the Bhagavatam tells us, and Krishna consciousness tells us, is that really it is a result of a broken relationship. We have a relationship with Krishna. And due to it's our own doing that we have turned away. Krishna Bahir Mukha. We have turned our face away from Krishna. We've rejected and come to the material world. Krishna wants us back. He wants to restore the relationship, but we are unwilling. So what we have to do now, the really hard part about this broken relationship is it is that we have to accept that it is 100% our fault. When there's a broken relationship in the material world, you go to ISKCON Resolve and they'll sit down with you and say, well, you know, there's some misunderstanding and fault on both sides. You've done wrong and you've done wrong. But in the case of the broken relationship with Krishna, Krishna has not done anything wrong. His only fault is that he's perfect. And our fault is that we're envious of Krishna. Envy is a very interesting a kind of feeling, envy. Because when you envy somebody, it means you appreciate what they have. If I'm envious of somebody because he's rich, I appreciate the fact that he's rich. That's a great thing to be rich. Or he's smart, I appreciate that he's smart. Or that he has a beautiful girlfriend, I appreciate that. What's the difference? What makes it envy? Well, I want it for me. I want it to be transferred to myself. See, love is generous. Envy is miserly. Huh? Even the Mayavadis, they appreciate Krishna. They like to read about his wealth, his strength, his beauty, his knowledge. All they want is it to be transferred to them. The devotee says, yes, Krishna, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have all wealth, strength, fame, beauty, and all of them belong to you, and I accept it. I think that's great. That's love. Love is generous. Love means you want the other to be. Envy means I can't stand it that you have it and I don't. So this is what we have to recover from. This is our recovery project. To root out this, to repair this relationship with Krishna, to understand that we have done this, well, it's a crime actually. Turn away, if we actually have some appreciation of who Krishna is, the fact that we broke off with this relationship, we look very bad. In fact, if I look at myself and see what I've done, it's so bad, you know, I should go to hell and stay there forever. The fortunate thing is Krishna doesn't feel the same way. No matter what we've done, he wants us back. I mean, isn't that generous? I wouldn't have me back. But Krishna's different. He wants us back. And so he set into motion such apparatus to reclaim fallen souls. We're here today because of Krishna's efforts, working through his devotees. We're here today because Srila Prabhupada went through so much trouble for us. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur went through so much trouble for us. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur. All these people fulfilling Krishna's desire to bring us back. And so our whole effort is really, when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, we're really saying, this is our call, let us reestablish this relationship. Please engage me in your service. This is the prayer. The meaning, when you chant the mantra, you think of the meaning of the mantra, please engage me in your relationship, in your service. And the corollary, please disengage me from anything that's in the way. And that should be our sincere prayer. And in this way, we reestablish this relationship with Krishna. Krishna hears that call. He's so delighted to have us back. And so he responds to us. And this is the method of Krishna consciousness. And therefore our desire, which is now kama, the desire to enjoy separately from Krishna in the world, turns back into what it originally is, which is prema, the desire to satisfy the senses of Krishna. Then we are fixed to Krishna consciousness. Okay, time's up really. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Should we have a question or two, maybe? Anyone? Huh? Okay. Yeah? Yes?
just as a sidelight, you were, well, I'll say that later on. Well, what about the argument you were saying that sense gratification is atheism, if you actually look at it? Well, why do you have this repressive view of things? That God has created this world for us to enjoy. Krishna is happy when I'm enjoying.
Yeah, right.
So
I want you to be a rich man.
Yeah. So
you know these preachers in America, right?
So what's why are you so hung up about this? I'm simply fulfilling God's will. He wants me to have a nice family. He wants me to be happy. Krishna says I'm satisfied within religious principles. I'm just doing everything Krishna told me to do. I'm remembering Krishna. I'm grateful for Krishna. And I'm having a good time.
Mm.
Why are you so hung up?
Yeah, you've been lied to, actually. This is pious sense gratification. This is what it is. Also in the heavenly planets, you know, they're all pious and they're all enjoyers. This is also a temptation that we have to overcome. Everyone in the material world is more or less averse to the service of Krishna. Prabhupada writes, everyone in the material world is more or less averse to the service of Krishna. So you see Indra, for example, you know, they're very pious, receive sacrificial offerings, but every so often it comes out, you know, he's also, you know, Indra, you know. He doesn't know that that name Indra belongs to Krishna. Who is the Indra? It's Krishna. He's the king. Who's this other Indra? Well, okay, Krishna says you can have a little bit of that stuff for your enjoyment. So the people who are piously enjoying in the world are suffering. The unfortunate thing is they think that everything is nice, that this is wonderful, that I have my regulated sense gratification, God wants me to enjoy, I'm enjoying. So I keep taking birth again and again in this material world, and I stay here. People like this, it's hard to convince them sometimes that there's birth, death, old age, and disease. Knowledge of the evils of birth, death, old age, and disease is blanked out. This is this manasa pratyaksha. I think the material world is a nice place. So you can go to these very nice neighborhoods and everything looks beautiful. It looks like the heavenly planets. There's no wars. It's peaceful. You don't see any beggars in the street. You don't see any disease. Let's just go behind the scenes a little bit. Let's just open up the doors and see what's really happening. The death rate, 100%. So all of it is going on. It's the same stuff everywhere. And Prabhupada has pointed out, the beggar dies in the street, the king dies, and soap pillows, they're both dying. The soap pillows are very small consolation. Oh, I'm dying on soap pillows. Great. Fantastic. I really got the date. So people don't know this basic thing. So Prabhupada has mentioned that these things should be discussed. He said one should have a pessimistic view of this material world. Pessimistic means realistic. But most people are not realistic because they are working very hard to maintain their illusions. There's a very famous American entertainer named Josephine Baker. She was a lady who would go on stage and sing and dance and take most of her clothes off. And because she was black, she was not much appreciated in America, but she went to France and she became very famous in the 1920s and 30s. And is singing and dancing and taking clothes off. And so finally in her old age, she was persuaded to do one last performance. But she had bananas in front of the strategic places where she would dance. So in this last performance, she saw somebody in the background with some little opera glasses or binoculars, you know, so they could see the stage better, and she stopped. And she says, put them away. She said, preserve your illusions. She said, it's all you've got. Because if you look close, she was an old lady. So there's wise advice. So this is what people are doing in the material world. They're preserving their illusions because it is all they have got. It's manasa pratyaksha. It's a little mental happiness. So we deserve much more. That's why people are not satisfied. They are not happy. They hate to admit it. I have an expensive Jaguar, therefore I am happy. Right, he's got three wives, all divorced, all hating his guts, paying alimony like crazy. None of his kids want to see him, and all his business partners hate him, but I have his car. Yeah. This is nonsense. So people are, they've invested their happiness in the material world, they've made a bad mistake, and they're trying to defend their stupidity. So therefore it's very hard to convince these people sometimes what they don't want to hear. They think there's no alternative. That's the problem. They have to know about this. So a devotee should be very merciful, and sometimes to be merciful you have to be a little cruel, tactfully. Yes, that's right, hand in the binoculars. Anything else? Yes. Where do you get a microphone?
Can you elaborate a little on the mercy requires cruelty? Because in my own rebellious heart, sometimes I'm thinking, Krishna, I'm ready to surrender. I can understand the whole world's made to bring us back to you, but did you have to make it so tough? You know, it's kind of like, okay, it's a prison that's supposed to reform you, but it's pretty intense what we see, you know, on the streets in the world. So can you comment on that a little bit?
I don't understand what you're
saying. The intensity of the suffering to bring the conditioned souls back to Krishna.
Yeah.
Causes some consternation. As devotees, we're meant to try to become soft-hearted, and the harsh reality of the way Krishna reforms us, sometimes for myself and I think for other people, causes some hesitation, some anxiety, and I'm sure it's just impurity in our hearts, but can you elaborate on that some?
Of course, the harshness is also manasa pratyaksha. Both the enjoyment and the suffering are manasa pratyaksha, because they're based on my identifying myself with the material body. If I really have an understanding of the truth, that I'm a spirit soul and I'm not the body, neither the enjoyment nor the suffering is of any consequence. The example of manasa pratyaksha that Prabhupada gives is a dream. It's a nightmare. James Joyce, one of his novels, one of his characters was going around saying, history is a nightmare from which I am trying to awake. People cannot wake up from the nightmare of history. So our job is to wake them up. So are people suffering? Not really. Prabhupada gives the example of a man sleeping in bed at night, and he's having a nightmare. And in a nightmare, he's in a jungle and being chased by a tiger, and he's terrified. It's dark. He can't see. He's running through the jungle, tripping over roots and running into branches, and behind him, you know, there's this tiger. He can hear, you know, the tiger is crashing through the underbrush, coming closer and closer and closer, and the man is trying to run and falling and tripping, and finally, you know, the animal is very close, and then there's silence while it's in the air, and then, you know, he feels the fangs of the tiger has got his neck, and of course the tiger's starting to twist his neck, because that's how he kills, he breaks the neck, and he can smell that meaty tiger, rotten meat breath. He screams in terror. He wakes up. He's safe in bed. There's the curtains gently blowing in the breeze. The moonlight is coming in. He was always safe. Was he suffering? Well, one sense, no. He was never suffering. He was imagining, dreaming he was suffering. He had identified with the dream body and was seen to be suffering, but he was not. So a devotee is somebody, interestingly enough, Vishva Purna Sukhayate, Prabodhananda Saraswati says, the whole world is filled with happiness for a Krishna consciousness person. But if you're a Krishna conscious person, you'll walk around and you'll see, here's this whole world filled with happiness, and look at all these people who don't notice. You have to wake them up. So really, the suffering is also it's not happening to me. It's not happening to anybody. We have to feel compassion for these people because of going through this condition, but. And of course, it looks worse and worse the more impious people become. And unfortunately, people have become very impious. And so they're inflicting horrible things on each other. Very little of our current suffering comes from daiva. It comes from natural causes. Most of it's human. It's humans doing awful, terrible things to each other because they've become so impious. So this is Kali Yuga. People have done terrible things and they're suffering terrible reactions, and as a result of their terrible reactions they do further terrible things. And we know this is going on. But we should wake everyone up. This is Vishwapurna Sukhayate. They don't notice. They can't see it. They're in this altered state of consciousness. So we have to change the state of consciousness. That's the point. Okay, maybe we should stop now. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.